So I am here with Esme Voss from MuniWireless.com, and welcome to Audio Berkman Podcast.
Thank you. I'm really enjoying myself here at Freedom to Connect, which is kind of a meeting of like minds.
I was really curious to ask you if you could share a little information about Muni Wireless and the work that you're doing on the blog.
MuniWireless.com was started in June 2003 by me. I started it because I felt that citywide and eventually countywide wireless networking was going to be a very big trend. And at the time I started, there was no one place on the internet where cities could find out what other cities were doing. If a city wanted to set up a network, they usually will want to find out how much it costs, who the vendors are, what the business models are. And there was just no one person, no one site that was doing that, so I decided to start it because I felt it was important to aggregate that kind of information to make it easier for cities to do this.
And I've noticed a lot of people have really now congregated around the site. You've been able to get a lot of support from your blog, and people are contributing content, information, blog posts there. Could you talk a little bit about the participation from other groups as well on the site?
Most of the people who send me information are from municipalities or their consultants to municipalities. So, for example, if a municipality wants to put out a request for proposals, a bid for a city network, they will often send me the link to the site on the city, on the city's website, where you can download the bid and actually submit a bid. The other major contributors to my site are, of course, the vendors and the consultants. They usually want me to know that there is a deployment taking place, or that there's an RFP that's about to be issued, or they'll let me know about the status of a network, which really helps me keep the information on my site up to date. The third group that's very active on my site are the users themselves. A lot of them are business people or tech people who are in locations where there isn't great broadband, where they want it, or where there is a deployment going on. And the fourth are just people who are also very concerned with the state of U.S. broadband. They can be educators, parents, people who belong to chambers of commerce.
What has been your overall impression of Freedom to Connect, actually, in the last day and a half? And have there been some positive ideas put forth that you have found useful or that you were glad to see or hear during the conference?
My impression about Freedom to Connect is that it's a group of very smart people who are really passionate about sharing the advantages of technology that today are sadly available only to middle and upper income people. And that's really gratifying. I think that in a lot of sectors in this country, people tend to think only about themselves and getting things just for themselves. So that's really nice to see. The other thing I think that people here have finally learned is that it's one thing to have all these slogans and to talk in a very high level about technology. And people tend to talk in terms of acronyms that all of us understand, but most people don't. And they've now realized that, you know, it's not a matter of talking down. It's a matter of really speaking to people on common ground, you know, on terms that we all can understand. And that has to be done, I think, very soon, because all of these bills are coming in the Congress. And in order to convince the congressmen and the senators to actually pass these, you have to convince them that it's an issue that's dear to the hearts of their constituents. And I think at least our community, Muni Wireless, has done a pretty good job, at least on the state level, with trying to stop these anti-municipal broadband bills. And I'm waiting to see if that's going to happen on the federal level as well, whether all of us can, in fact, get together, like we did at the state level, and defeat the anti-Muni broadband proposals and actually encourage the congressmen to submit pro-Muni broadband proposals and pro-net neutrality rules. And I think people in this conference are only now realizing that first you have to get involved in the political process itself, and second, you really have to talk to people on common ground.
So actually a two-part question. How then have you found that you've been able to talk about network neutrality? How have you been able to make that phrase make sense to more people, the concept? And secondly, what bill are you most concerned with or excited about right now related to the issue of Muni Wireless?
Okay, about network neutrality, it's actually very simple. If you want people to get passionate about a topic that's slightly technical, you have to use examples that come from life. And making analogies, it's always a very good thing. So, for example, you can say, if you don't have network neutrality, it's as if GM had the right to build a road or the interstate highway system in the United States and required only GM cars to go on it. So we would never see the kind of innovation that we see today in automobile technology, not just in the technology itself, but in the style of automobiles. You know, some cars are shaped like the Bug, some cars are shaped like Cadillacs, and there's SUVs. And I always make that analogy that people understand, and I think we have to talk that way with examples that come from daily life. We also have to talk about, because this is a technology that's really meant to improve the lives and the education of children, you have to talk about people's children. You have to tell them how, in fact, it benefits their children and why it's important to the local economy and to their kids' education and their future. About the bills, there is one bill, I believe it's the Ensign Bill, which actually prohibits municipalities from rolling out broadband technology just because it competes with the telcos. That I'm worried about. But the bill I'm excited about, of course, is the McCain-Lautenberg bill, which is very pro-mini broadband. And in general, I would like to see more regulations that actually open up the market to competitors. I mean, I just believe in competition. I think that's the difference between what's happening in Europe and Asia on broadband and what's happening in the United States, is that the Europeans have managed to put together, cobble together a set of rules that actually encourages competition. And that's created a very lively market for broadband services. And I think that's the way to go.
Great. And I'll just ask you one last question about MuniWireless.com. And moving forward, coming particularly out of this conference, what do you think you'll be sharing on the site from the conference, following the conference?
Well, I'll certainly be talking about what Michael Powell said yesterday and what Congressman Boucher said today. I think it's very important to get the legislative side and the regulatory side. But I think the thing I'll emphasize is that people who are basically technology people need to start talking about how the technology affects daily life. And when I say daily life, I mean things like telling people, hey, you can work from your home and you don't have to be stuck in two-hour traffic and waste your money on gas. Hey, your children can have access to very fast broadband. It will allow them to access, you know, videos of professors teaching on certain subjects. And also things like the municipality can be more efficient because building inspectors can check many more sites if we have a citywide wireless network. Police officers can be on the street longer and do their reports from the street and can patrol your community better if we have a citywide wireless network. Those are the things that people understand. And I think this is what this community here at Freedom to Connect is only now really finally realizing.
Great. Well, Esme Voss, thank you very much.
Thank you.